This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's an all-out deep dive into Midwestern history. Today, the Hauenstein Center at Grand Valley State University is hosting the second Midwestern History Conference. The goal? To get more attention to Midwest history among history professionals and everyone else for that matter. Let's talk about getting more respect for Midwestern history. John Lauck is here with us now. He's a professor of political science and history at the University of South Dakota, and he's president of the Midwestern History Association. Good to have you with us, John.
Well, thank you, Cindy. I appreciate the warm welcome that Michigan always gives for this conference.
We like this conference. And I want to start with this, the fact that you wrote a book talking about the disappearance of Midwestern history, and you are the perfect person to ask. What happened to it? I mean, the title of this week's conference is Finding the Lost Region. Are we lost here in the Midwest?
Well, a couple of years ago, I wrote a book, as you mentioned, entitled The Lost Region. And the point of that book was to describe what happened to the old field of Midwestern history, which up until about mid-20th century, was a very robust field. And it had lots of practitioners, and there were a lot of books, including Pulitzer Prize-winning books written about the region. And unfortunately, in the years after World War II, the field went into steep decline. So you really don't even see advertisements anymore for positions in Midwestern history. You don't see people marketing themselves as Midwestern historians. There wasn't even a Midwestern History Association until a year or so ago, and there wasn't even a journal focused on the Midwest until a year or two ago. And that's when a few of us got together and decided that this has gone on long enough and we need to take a stand and try and revive the field. And a very big part of that effort has been this annual conference at the Hauenstein Center at Grand Valley State.
Well, what happened in that, let's say, 60-some years since the end of World War II as we moved through? Why did the field of Midwestern history become anything but robust?
Well, I think there are a number of factors. I think after World War II, there was a great deal of focus on internationalism and being cosmopolitan and the old Midwestern isolationism of the pre-World War II years was kind of delegitimized. And I think there was a great deal of focus in academia on studying the broader world. And, you know, that's obviously a very noble endeavor, and that's something we want to promote. But it came at the cost of a lot of focus on this region. And I think there was also kind of a failure of leadership by Midwestern universities. Unlike universities in other parts of the country, like the West or New England or the South, the Midwestern universities just haven't done a very good job of promoting studies of their region, because I think there is a viewpoint out there that the region doesn't have much of a history. It's kind of a boring history. It's not exciting like Western history and romantic like the West. And, you know, it doesn't have these compelling, dramatic storylines like Southern history. And so, unfortunately, the universities in the region stopped studying the region. And, you know, here's a good example of how bad it's become. At the University of Georgia, there are about 10 people who study the history of Georgia and the South. But at the University of Minnesota, just to pick on them to make the point, there is not one person who teaches the history of the Midwest or Minnesota. You know, that's a major failure of leadership. And I think that's why some people have been pretty receptive to this effort to get people thinking about our region again and writing about it again. So we're very happy with the early returns.
Now, here's a question, and you're the best person for us to ask, because there is some debate, depending upon whom you ask, in certain states. What does the Midwestern History Association define as the Midwest?
Well, we haven't taken an official stand, but our unofficial point of view is that the old census definition of the 12 states of the Midwest is what we focus on. And those states are Ohio. Obviously, that sort of begins the Midwest when you cross the Ohio River past Pittsburgh and then into Michigan and Indiana and Illinois and Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, of course, as everyone agrees, is Midwestern. And then it gets a little bit trickier because the southern half of Missouri is heavily southern and the northern half of Missouri is, you know, heavily Iowa-oriented. So about the northern half of Missouri. And then on the plain states, the eastern halves of those states, so the Dakotas, Nebraska, and Kansas, are very much Midwestern and Midwestern-oriented and very much agricultural-oriented. But once you get past the 100th meridian or so, you get out into the plains and it gets drier and it becomes more Western, and you know, the topography changes. And that's really kind of where the Midwest ends.
And let me ask you this as well. Why is it that the Midwest is considered America's most common ground?
Well, the Midwest is very unique in the sense that it became a meeting place of lots of different social groups. It became a crossroads of various migration streams. And so you get a heavy influx of Yankees, you get a heavy influx of Southerners, you get a heavy influx of people from the middle colonies, Pennsylvania, et cetera. And on top of that, you get this big influx of foreign-born people, especially Germans, Dutch, of course, here in Grand Rapids, a lot of Norwegians and Swedes and Scandinavians that are particularly prominent in Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Dakotas, but obviously in northern Michigan, too. I mean, you have a big northern Michigan is probably the heartland of Finnish immigrants to the United States. So you get a real conglomeration of peoples in the Midwest, which you don't have in other places. I mean, New England is very heavily Puritan culture. Of course, the South has its own very unique and peculiar culture, as we called it back in the day. And the Midwest, I think, has this mixture of people, and I think that's given rise to a very strong civic culture and greater degrees of tolerance and openness and civic-mindedness here than perhaps in other regions.
You can find out more about the work of the Midwestern History Association by going to their website, which is MidwesternHistory.com. John Locke is president of the Midwestern History Association. Love talking history, and thank you so much for spending some time with us on Stateside, John.
Thanks, Cindy.